News Radio 1400 KTEM. It is Jamie Garrett with this week's Hero Hotline phone call with soldiers with boots on the ground in Iraq and Afghanistan. And this week, very happy to have Sergeant Major Larry Rayburn. And Sergeant Major Rayburn, thank you so much for taking some time to join us today.
Yes, sir. Glad to.
Now, you obviously go back quite a ways in the military. You've been in for quite a while, obviously rising to the rank of Sergeant Major now. And I'm reading the story about a trip into Germany back during the Cold War. It's so odd to think that far back into the Cold War. You know, it was just 20 years ago or so, but it seems so much further back than that. And an incident in which you won, I believe, the Medal of Valor. And this is a pretty interesting story to me because my father was a radio operator on C-130s, and that's kind of where this operation began. If you could, talk a little bit about this and about what the operation was and your role in that operation.
Yes, sir. At the time, I was in an Airborne Ranger Alert Company, and our mission was to put five-man teams 50 to 300 miles behind the enemy lines to gather intelligence. The operation was called Reforger. During the Cold War, it was decided that to show the Russians that we could not be defeated on the battlefield, we would actually move entire divisions, all the equipment, all the personnel, to Europe, deploy them, and openly through newscast and through informational video, show the world that we had the capability to defeat the Russians on the ground. And it was very successful. They never, you know, they never actually tried to come through the Fulda Gap. But my company belonged to a Corps headquarters, and our job was to gather intelligence and send it back. During a night parachute jump from a Special Operations C-130, it was supposed to have the capability to use geospatial equipment and lock in on the drop zone. It was a very cold and foggy night. It was 20 degrees and snowing. The fog went up to about 3,000 feet. And the equipment didn't quite work. We landed 5 miles off the drop zone. So my team leader hit a frozen river. My next team sergeant hit a barn. Another soldier and I landed in open field, and then the final jumper in the team landed on the side of a hill. And from there, my team member, Richard Nutt, and I heard our team leader's cries for help. We dropped our equipment, ran down to a river. The river was called the Wahora. It was about 40 feet wide, and Sergeant Richard Nutt and I took off our jackets, took off our boots, pulled out our knives, and jumped into the river to cut Sergeant David Lewis out of his parachute. He had landed with his parachute behind him upstream, and it had wrapped around him kind of like an octopus. We had packed our rucksacks where they would float and were waterproof, and that was the only thing keeping him alive. He was clinging to his rucksack. It was floating and snagged. It was so cold his hands didn't work. He couldn't even get his helmet off. So we jumped in the river and cut him out of his parachute and then drug him to the closest shore, which was on the other side of the river. So we all had SEER kits, which are escape, evasion, resistance, and survival kits. I'm sorry, survival, escape, resistance, evasion. That's the acronym SEER. Mm-hmm. And we had lightweight space blankets, which are reflective but capture body heat. So I wrapped Nutt and Lewis in a couple of space blankets, and I swam back across the river, ran up to a farmer's house, and was banging on the door at 3 o'clock in the morning in a snowstorm, yelling, "Amerikaner Fallschirmjägers, in der Fluss, wir ist kalt." American paratroopers are in the river and we're cold. The farmer, whose name was Herbert Straka, came out. We jumped on his tractor and went down to a bridge and crossed over, went into that field, and were able to pick up Sergeant Nutt and Sergeant Lewis. We got them back at the farmhouse, and I went out looking for the rest of the team. And I'd found 300 yards away, Sergeant Williams had hit their barn.
Hmm.
And his rucksack, which weighed about 80 pounds, pulled him off of the roof, and he landed on his head, and he had a severe concussion.
Ooh.
I couldn't wake him up, and by that time it had been 30 minutes or so. His parachute was frozen. All the buckles were frozen. So I had to cut him out of that parachute, and then I carried him back to the farmhouse.
Wow. And all this is behind enemy lines during this this operation?
Yes, there were two British brigades who were playing the Russians. We were still in West Germany, so we didn't violate the East-West German border.
Mm, okay.
But the two British were moving forward and attacking the American army, and we were behind their lines.
Wow, all that could have been a deadly operation, but everybody, obviously out alive and able to get back and continue with the mission?
We called back to our unit, and they sent a vehicle to pick us and all of our equipment in. We went back. We had a tactical pause because of the injuries to our personnel. And then we inserted again 3 days later. The only person who couldn't was Sergeant Williams. He his bell was rung really well, and he stayed in the hospital for about a week.
That's amazing. What you've seen since then. You know, we're talking 1985 to 2011, and so much has changed. The enemy has changed, and how, you know, what are some of the biggest changes? You know, you're talking about the Cold War, a war that never escalated to the point of shots being fired, and now back to a hostile zone, Afghanistan, Iraq, all this going on overseas. What are some of the major changes in the mode of operation here and strategy that you've seen since then, you know, whether it be technology or just the overall mindset and strategy of the mission at hand?
That was a linear fight with everyone wearing uniforms, with marked vehicles. You knew what a T-72 was. You studied Soviet and Warsaw Pact vehicle recognition. You could study Warsaw Pact tactics and know what your opponent was going to do by the way they trained. Our fight here is asymmetrical and nonlinear, meaning there are no front lines. The enemy does not wear a uniform. They don't fight in standardized tactics or training procedures. They do not openly face you. They use IEDs and rockets set on timers where they can run away. They have excellent information operations, and that's what I'm working in right now. I'm the information operations sergeant major for division. So we use electronic warfare, psychological operations, PAO, information operations, all combined to counter their information campaign. They will put out websites that give their view of the occupier or the infidel. They do press releases in video and in newspapers that give, you know, why it's okay for them to attack the occupier and kill American soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And we counter that with the truth and with what we have done to help the Iraqi people achieve democracy and live a better life. We've done millions of dollars in projects. We've supported schools, orphanages. We've supported their economy in engineering. I mean, they've got more oil and gas here than Saudi Arabia almost, and yet they're not exploiting their natural gas. Mm-hmm. They burn it off. And a lot of our National Guard guys from Texas have civilian jobs. I work for TxDOT in my civilian job. And through our civil affairs, we're able to lend them the expertise of our oil and gas engineers who work in Texas oil fields. So we add a special dimension to the fight that has been very helpful to the Iraqi people.
Well, I'm just sitting here listening to you talk and listening to the story dating back to 1985. We're talking with Sergeant Major Larry Rayburn, and I got to say, listening to you kind of explain and go through what's going on there, I got to say, in now 10 minutes and 45 seconds of talking to you, I have a better grasp of the difficulty of the task at hand than in all the news reports I've seen over the years, because you put it very, very succinctly here for us, and it's certainly a tough operation. Do you find it difficult, more difficult, to battle misinformation and outright propaganda lies put out by the enemy in Iraq, or the fear that they impose in people with death threats? What's more difficult to overcome in a situation like you're facing in Iraq?
Belief and education. In a culture where education isn't valued, and to a great extent, and in a place where we are the infidel and the occupier, it is difficult to get to some of the population.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the people, well, they have internet, they have satellite TV, they can see what's happening in the outside world, and some of the media is focused wholly on one side of the story, from the militias and with Iranian influence, and other parts of the media are actually trying to give a balanced picture. And you know, not everything that we have done has worked out wonderfully, but we have definitely tried to help the Iraqis be successful, because they have to have the lead. It's their country, and we're leaving. Our according to the security agreement, all of our soldiers will be out by December 2011. And so we're trying to help set them up for success, and they know their neighbor in Iran wants influence here that may be detrimental to them.
Mm-hmm.
So in mapping out their future, they have to be very careful.
Sergeant Major Larry Rayburn joining us. One final question here, as we're running short on time. Thank you again so much for the time, but here's my final question for you. Which would you rather face, a cold, snowy, wet night in Germany against a potential Russian invade or Russian army, a Soviet Union army at the time, or a 120-degree day fully loaded down with equipment fighting an enemy you can't really see in Iraq or Afghanistan?
That's a difficult question. I would think in my Ranger Alert Company, I was the insurgent. My little five-man team was the group that used stealth and audacity and better intelligence to fight an enemy who never knew where I was and never knew what I was doing and never knew I was there. So it's a little easier when you are the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
When you have, in this fight, our MRAPs are big, but they're safe. Our signature is big. We move out, and an MRAP or a Bradley or a tank is unmistakable against the Toyota Corolla. That's the normal vehicle here.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a lot of stealth that we use. But we are in training the ISF and getting them ready. We're teaching them how to defend their country. So there's the other is a little easier. This is rewarding because we're helping build another democracy in the Middle East where there hasn't been any.
Mm-hmm. Worth the effort, I suppose. That's Sergeant Major Larry Rayburn.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for spending some time with us. I really enjoyed the story, and I got to tell you, I look forward to it becoming a book or a movie because, you know, the span of your military career, you've seen a lot. You've been a lot of places. You've gone from the ghost to fighting the ghost, and certainly wish you, you know, continued safety and well-being there in Iraq, and look forward to getting you back home and back on the roads in Central Texas working for TxDOT again. So thank you so much, Sergeant Major Rayburn. Stay safe, and look forward to getting you back home again.
Thank you.
And this has been the News Radio 1400 KTEM Hero Hotline. Well, that was fantastic, sir. It really was. I appreciate it. What I'm going to do is split this up into two different segments because it ran long, but I don't want to cut any of it out. So I'm going to play a little bit of it this afternoon and play the rest of it tomorrow afternoon during the show. So I appreciate it.
One correction
okay. For
you. The award that I received was the Lone Star Medal of Valor, and it's the second highest award that the state of Texas gives.
Okay, so the Lone Star Medal of Valor. Okay, I will recut my audio and throw in the Lone Star part of that instead of just the generic term I use, the Medal of Valor. So I appreciate you setting me straight on that. I'll get that straightened away.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you. You bet.
Bye-bye.
Out here.